This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Nally. Our guest this week is Marcia Bunger, Administrator of the USDA's Risk Management Agency. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by the American Sugar Alliance. Learn more about the benefits of the sugar industry to the nation at sugaralliance.org. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with RMA's Marcia Bunger next. America's 11,000 sugar beet and sugarcane farmers produce sugar under some of the world's strictest safety, labor, and environmental standards. The industry also supports 151,000 jobs across more than two dozen states. The farmer, family, and employee-owned sugar companies pay workers fair wages and offer good benefits, including union jobs in rural and urban communities. Together, farmers and workers provide a reliable domestic sugar supply chain for both food manufacturers and grocery store shoppers. A strong bipartisan coalition in Congress supports sugar policy, which is the safety net for sugar producers in the Farm Bill. The sugar program is designed to have zero cost to the taxpayer and has the flexibility to allow for a reliable supply of sugar throughout the year. Sugar policy ensures Americans are not dependent on unreliable foreign supplies, which would displace American farmers and jobs and jeopardize domestic food security for this essential ingredient. For more, visit the American Sugar Alliance at sugaralliance.org. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. The nation's crop insurance program is often criticized for its price tag in the Farm Bill. But RMA Administrator Marcia Bunger says there's a good reason. Costs have gone up, reflecting a huge increase in coverage and events offered.
It has, like, blown up. It is exponential, the growth that we have seen, both in the policies that we offer, the coverage amounts that are offered. In 2023, a historical high with the liabilities that the risk management agency managed. It was $207 billion, with a B, dollars worth of liability. So it has been phenomenal as far as the premier, the best type of risk management that is offered in this country for agriculture.
So insured 539 million acres, an 83% increase in the last decade.
That's a spot-on statistic, yes. So as you can see, even in the last five, there has been exponential growth, especially around the livestock commodities insurance policies that we offer. I believe now the livestock risk protection or the livestock policy now is in the top 10 of all policies sold. That growth has seen, I think, if I have the statistic right in my head, 9,000% growth.
So for those who want to criticize the crop insurance program and the risk management agency for the increased cost, they're assuming that services remain the same and offerings have remained the same while you have exploded.
Exactly. You're spot on again. It hasn't stagnated. Since 1996, agriculture continues to change. RMA has adapted and acclimated to those changes, and we continue to not only do our efforts in outreach, but we are constantly being approached by industry, by producers with, have you thought about this? You know, can we tweak this policy? We don't have coverage on a particular type of policy, so it takes a tremendous effort talking with stakeholders, but also developing the policy, because at the core it still needs to remain, according to statute, actuarially sound. And now with the upcoming Farm Bill, we've been busy with Congress, members of the Hill, providing technical assistance for all of the new and creative things that Congress would like to have RMA consider and help with.
Looking back at previous farm policy, I would have suggested the loan rates and others would have operated as somewhat of financial security, both a floor and a ceiling for the commodity market. But after Freedom to Farm and now with expanded risk coverage, it appears to me that the tools farmers use the most of all are their ability in the marketplace and their crop insurance plans, and not just crops, but livestock as well.
Correct. Crop insurance at its basic is voluntary, but as a producer myself, I also know that who's going to require it is my lender. And the lending industry recognizes the benefits of crop insurance, what a phenomenal tool to protect against climate and weather. And so most loans anymore with your ag lender require that you have some level of crop insurance or a similar type of product that is offered through RMA.
So it's safe to say if they loan you money, they want to get paid back.
That's right. That's right. That is their guarantee. So, you know, lending is a very critical component, but yet without crop insurance, you are probably not going to get a loan.
What challenge does this inflationary cycle with higher inputs, machinery costs, land values, what does it create for customers? And if we operate in percentages, that's one thing, but in reality, it's dollars and cents.
Right. At the end of the day, the farmer's going to have to really understand his bottom line and what his break-evens are. And that's why it's so important to have a crop insurance agent that understands those individual operations. Because already I'm looking at last year's prices for corn and beans, and now this year there's a dollar drop in the coverage per acre on corn and $2 drop in soybeans. So that's a significant amount of guaranteed that is lost for that producer. So there's going to have to be some pencil pushing. But again, like I talked about the lending side of it, because the ag lending industry really recognizes the value of crop insurance, I think they're very keyed in on the importance of that product, but then they can also assist producers to figure out by operation, because they know your operation extremely well, that they can help you maybe navigate some of the levels of coverage that they feel that you need to protect your operation so that they can sleep at night, but also that the farmer can sleep at night.
Knowing that there are nuances in the Title I program, I ask this, will the lower commodity prices expose farmers or the government or providers to greater financial risk?
I think the answer is yes, yes, and yes. But at its core, you know, what I always first am concerned about is the farm and the farming operation. And with increased input costs and less guaranteed coverage levels, those are the kinds of conversations you need to have with your agent. What would it cost me to level up on my crop insurance so I can maybe get a little bit better coverage on my guarantee? But at the same time, how much more is it going to cost me? That's where having an agent that understands your operation is also important.
It seems that we have more weather extremes than we've had in times past. Drought, floods, tornadoes, derecho, hurricanes. Have the occurrence of these extremes, have they weakened the system?
I don't know if you can say it's weakened the system. I think it has highlighted the need for the public to understand the importance of having a strong and continuing strong safety net. And so that probably does come at a cost to all of us, that we are able to secure a sound food security policy. That all ties in. So we could see at some point where input costs come down or maybe the prices return to what they were a year ago. And so all of those things kind of just move and fluctuate. So right now it looks like it's going to be expensive, but because I don't have a crystal ball today, I'm just going to say it probably is a concern. Do I think it's going to weaken it? No, I don't think it'll weaken it, but I do think it's something that we need to keep our eye on the ball.
How have the providers fared through this period of time?
There's some concerns by approved insurance providers, if that's what you're referring to. They're seeing higher loss ratios. They're concerned in some areas that they too also have to answer to their boards, and also they seek other outside financial areas through reinsurance. And there are times where some areas of the country have high loss ratios, so they're not as keen to jump and say, yeah, we'll go ahead and write that business. But I think, again, it's important to remember that this is a public policy. And it's stood up in that manner and that it can't always necessarily be about the private industry and the profits they maybe have realized in the last 10 years.
It's improper to ask you to talk about policy that hasn't been proposed, but let's join the discussion. There have been some in leadership that have talked about perhaps an expansion of crop insurance in such a way to respond to natural disasters without having to go through ad hoc.
Right. And, you know, and there's probably some debate going on with regards to that, you know, and I can only speak probably from institutional knowledge working at the FSA office, but also being a crop insurance agent and also being a taxpayer and a farmer, that it's going to come at a cost. And can we continue to have both ad hoc and crop insurance? I don't think we can. I think crop insurance is the best path to go forward and lessen disaster ad hoc. But at the same time, we have to remember that crop insurance has not always been available for all crops, all commodities. It hasn't always been made available to underserved communities. And so until we get to that point where we have reached equity across crops, commodities, and people, that we're still going to have to probably look at disaster ad hoc programs to fill those gaps. But I mean, ideally, if everybody could have the kind of crop insurance that Marcia and Roger Bunger have on their farm in South Dakota, I think we could move away from having disaster ad hoc programs and we could rely upon crop insurance. The thing, too, that I think I would like to add is that farmers, too, though, also have to be accountable to themselves. Are they going to be happy with the level of coverage that they picked? And so when they are totally wiped out, have they set themselves up to get by so that that top end of their crop that's lost, can they self-insure into the next year? And so insurance isn't always easy. It can be, you know, just another added cost. But farmers also need to look in the mirror and say, is this level of coverage going to be adequate if I have a total wipeout? Am I going to be able to live to farm another day? And those are the kinds of challenges and questions that farmers need to ask.
Well, it's one thing to come up with the idea for a policy, but the second is you've got to have those companies willing to buy in and play the numbers game to be viable through such events.
Right. And I think we'll work with the companies to address some of those concerns. I mean, we're currently right now having those kinds of discussions with assigned risk so that they are able to move some of the riskier types of policies into that assigned risk pool. The thing is that as a private business, they also are looking at, but do I really want to do that? Because then I have the possibility of losing out on underwriting gains. But that's kind of the whole process, right? You can't have your cake and eat it too. So if you think that this is going to be risky and you can't bear, you know, those higher loss ratios, you have the ability with RMA to move to assigned risk.
Address the critics who suggest that crop insurance risk management programs are built to guarantee profits for those who take the policies. Is that the case?
Absolutely not. You know, and I can probably speak more to from the farmer aspect. I know what it costs to put in an acre of corn. I know what it costs to put in an acre of soybeans. And the price and the guarantee, the levels that I can afford, aren't going to cover all of that loss if it's totally wiped out. So in those years that I would have a total wipeout, I'm going to lose money. But I need to push the pencil as the farmer and see what works best for my operation and make sure that I at least have covered as much of that risk as possible so that I can again get my bills paid, pay my note at the bank, and then come back the next year and farm another year.
Has there been an increase in participation with regard to double cropping? That was an area that expanded. Mm-hmm. It's a little more risky in some areas than others, but having risk protection for that, has there been an increase as that has been available?
Definitely. probably about 20 months ago with the invasion of Ukraine by Russia, the administration came to RMA and said, how can we incentivize or encourage, protect farmers with growing crops on the same acres? And so RMA did a concerted effort of reaching out to the industry, to producers. I think over 70 stakeholders were engaged, and RMA then expanded double cropping into more than 1,500 counties. And so we are now just seeing the beginnings of what that result looks like. We saw an increase in acres, I believe at least 1 million acres of increase in both wheat and grain sorghum acres as a result of that double cropping initiative. I think we still have to collect the data to realize the experience as far as was there any yield losses as a result of that. Right now, my sense is, you know, we could see probably some yield impact, but I don't think probably to the degree that maybe people thought. Because at the end of the day, that too was voluntary. And farmers, I think, know their farms. They know their capabilities. They know what they can grow. The only thing that they don't know is the impact of weather. And by allowing them to have crop insurance on double crop acres, I think we saw interest and they responded, you know, because obviously we have the increase in acres. And it gave them the ability to go to bed at night and sleep through the night because they knew they had crop insurance.
As you're the administrator of the system and that we are developing policy now, are there particular areas that you see that if the policy was changed, if Congress took action, it would be more effective and better served? Do you have suggestions for RMA in the future?
The scripted answer is we will always welcome questions, provide technical assistance, because we are here ready to stand up whatever Congress tells us to stand up.
Now, what's the rest of the story?
Sure. You know, there's always wish lists, you know, that every administrator probably has, every political appointee has. But I have come to appreciate the fact that all of the ideas that I think I have usually have been explored. Typically, there has been reasons why they can't go forward. Probably for me personally, it would be more around the equity piece. I still continue to hear from areas of the country where individuals don't know about crop insurance. And that before coming to RMA in this role, I thought, oh, wow, everybody has to know about crop insurance. But when I talk to groups from underserved communities and they are growing and they're beginning farmers, they don't know what RMA is. They didn't realize that they could purchase crop insurance that was subsidized. Sometimes they're confused about, well, I have NAP, which is the Non-Insured Assistance Program through FSA. So isn't that crop insurance? And so it's pretty impactful for me to hear people say, well, I don't know what crop insurance is. I would definitely wish that we could be given additional resources to be able to educate and provide that much needed education to everybody.
Would you suggest that maybe we shouldn't be talking so much about crop insurance because RMA is so much more than crop insurance? You don't just help with crops.
Maybe. It's really about, I mean, to come into, you know, my part of the country in southeastern South Dakota, you know, I don't really need to do a lot of more educating around crop insurance. Everybody knows what crop insurance is, and they have access to a very competitive process with crop insurance agents. AIPs like to write in the upper Midwest. They like to write crop insurance in those I states. Where we have our struggles is in those areas where urban ag, specialty crop growers, those policies like whole farm and micro farm are maybe a little bit more of a challenge to understand by the agent, but then also for that agent to turn around and try to explain it to somebody who's never had crop insurance before. I think it's more than just about what RMA is currently doing with crop insurance.
As I look at some of the program and program changes, you've made tremendous strides in whole farm insurance.
We've doubled the gross revenue limit on whole farm revenue. It's now, I think, $17 million, so that more people could be eligible for WFRP. We also, after the first year of microfarm, which is the baby sister of WFRP, I think we raised that limit to $350,000. We reduced for the gross revenue limit. We reduced paperwork on WFRP and very minimal amount of paperwork for microfarm. In addition, we've been looking at policies most recently this past year, stood up olive policies. We've stood up controlled environment policies. We've also done a controlled environment policy. We've done a shellfish policy. So we're not only just insuring the plants that are in the ground, but the creatures that walk the earth and that swim the sea. What I think for me was really impactful is last fall, I was invited to an international risk management conference where a number of countries came in to talk about what kinds of crop insurance they have in their countries. A lot of economists, a lot of statisticians. When I started talking about the crop insurance that we have in this country, it really, I think, wowed the crowd about what kind of industry we have in this country, and to see the follow-up with those countries now, with the United States, they're coming to us and asking to sit down and talk to our subject matter experts to learn more about what we're doing. The other thing that was really impactful for me is that in those countries, it's very government-centered, government-led. Many times, they don't have the necessarily the private-public partnership that we do. There's a lot of distrust of their farmers. And for me to then talk about, everybody has to have a seat at the table when it comes to developing new crop insurance and understanding and improving upon the products. And so I think that was a piece that they had not ever realized. I said, if you don't have buy-in from the farmer, you're not going to get anywhere with your crop insurance program. Because at the end of the day, they have to believe it and they have to understand it before they're going to buy it.
Understanding your heritage and also working for the Department of Agriculture, have you seen a sincere effort and a responsible effort towards service of USDA to all Americans and all farmers?
Definitely. Within USDA, definitely, there has been a concerted, a committed effort. You can see it with the face of employees across USDA. Many times I'm in rooms that myself with my staff are far more diverse than the customers we're talking to. So it's with great pride and great honor that I am serving this administration, this department, because it's not just lip service anymore.
Marcia, we want to thank you very much for taking time to be with us on this edition of Open Mic. It is Open Mic, and today you have the last word.
Thank you so much. You made this really thought-provoking for me, and some of the comments and perspectives that you've given me in the questions have given me more food for thought. So thank you very much.
Our thanks to Marcia Bunger, administrator of the USDA's Risk Management Agency, our guest this week on Open Mic. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by the American Sugar Alliance. Learn more about the benefits of the sugar industry to the nation at sugaralliance.org. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Nally.